The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the harvest time had come, he sent his slaves to the tenants to collect his produce. But the tenants seized his slaves and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other slaves, more than the first, and they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and get his inheritance.' So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants?" They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures? 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes.' Therefore I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom. The one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and it will crush anyone on whom it falls." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they realized that he was speaking about them. They wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowds because they regarded him as a prophet. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. I majored in psychology at the University of Texas, that superb institution. In my very first psychology class my freshman year, our professor put up on the projector screen a picture of fish swimming underwater. She then explained that this picture had been used in an experiment conducted by Dr. Richard Nesbitt, a psychologist. The participants in the experiment were graduate students, half of them American and half of them Japanese. The participants were shown this picture for a few seconds and then asked to describe what they saw. The descriptions tended to fall into one of two categories. Some said that it was a picture of fish. They might even focus in on one particular fish, saying that was a picture of an orange fish. But others said it was a picture of the ocean, or a lake, or a pond. Can you hear the important difference between these two descriptions? One group focused in on individual objects in the picture, like a fish. And the other group took in the whole scene, not just the fish, but the water and the environment in which the fish were swimming. As it turns out, the psychologists discovered that the way that subjects interpreted the picture was closely correlated with the culture they had grown up in. The American participants tended to focus in on individual objects, such as the fish, while the Japanese participants were more likely to perceive the picture as a whole scene, such as a pond. This difference, the psychologists explained, could be attributed to a difference in cultural background. American culture is highly individualistic. We put a lot of emphasis on the individual and the choices he or she can make. Japanese culture, on the other hand, is highly collectivist or communal, meaning that there is great emphasis on the community, the family, the whole social network of relationships. Typical American culture values personal autonomy, while typical East Asian culture values group harmony. And these values were shaping the participants' perception on a subconscious level. Of course, we want to be careful not to overgeneralize or oversimplify. There's great variety within American culture, and there's great variety within Japanese culture. And with our increasingly globalized world, I would imagine that some of the lines of these cultural differences are beginning to blur. But nevertheless, I find this experiment as fascinating today as I did my freshman year in college, because it made me realize for the first time that the culture in which I was raised was only one of many cultures, and that there were different ways of understanding the world. A few years later in seminary, I heard again about the differences between our modern individualistic culture and cultures that are more communal or collectivist. It's very important to be aware of these differences when we're reading and interpreting scripture, because our holy scriptures were written from the perspective of a communal society. Over and over again in the Bible, God relates to his chosen people, Israel, as a whole. He speaks to them as a nation, as a people. The Torah, the law which was given to Moses, is not just a list of rules for individuals. The Torah lays out how a community should function, not just in religious matters, but also in matters of governance, of health, and of economics. Because we bring our individualistic cultural lens to reading scripture, when we read the Bible, we are usually reading it to find out what it means for me and my life. And that's good. We should think deeply about how scripture speaks to us personally. But we're missing something big if we forget that scripture, both the Old Testament and the New Testament, is always concerned with the spiritual well-being of the community as well as the individual. Which brings us to our Old Testament lesson from Isaiah today. It's a song by the prophet Isaiah about God and his vineyard. Did you know that the most common metaphor for Israel used in the Old Testament is the vineyard? Over and over again, God's chosen people are compared to a vineyard, a large network of interconnected vines and roots and tendrils that together bring forth fruit and wine. This makes perfect sense in a culture that tended to look at the community before it looked at the individual. A vineyard is a beautiful illustration of the ancient Jewish understanding that all people are deeply interconnected with one another and utterly dependent upon God for life and nourishment. The truth that we are all connected in community can be a very comforting thought. It means that we are not alone, that we have love and support and help from others. But it also means that we bear the responsibility of other people's actions. And that is a tough pill to swallow, especially for us individualistic Americans. I wonder if we Americans looked at a picture of a vineyard, what would we see? Would we see the vineyard Or would we focus in on one particular grape? It may be a little uncomfortable for us, but it's important that we understand that in Scripture, God relates to his chosen people as a whole. The whole of God's people experience the joy of God's pleasure or the fury of God's disappointment. That's what's happening in our passage today from Isaiah, which says, "For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel. He expected justice, but saw bloodshed, righteousness, but heard a cry." In other words, God is saying, "I planted this beautiful vineyard. I watered it. I gave it everything it needed to thrive. And yet it has gone to ruin. And instead of bearing good fruit, it's bearing wild, rotten fruit. Israel, I gave you all you needed to thrive, to be a light to the nations. But you turned away from my ways and took the way of wickedness and violence and bloodshed." In these days of unprecedented political division, I think we need to be reminded that we are not just individual grapes or vines, but we are a vineyard. Too often, modern Western Christianity has focused only on the individual, while neglecting our role in communal life and our corporate responsibility. Our lives are closely linked together, and I have a responsibility not just for myself and my family, but for all of the human family, and so do you. As Christians, we are not just called to look after ourselves and our own interests, or even our own loved ones. As Christians, we are called to work for the good of all. I don't know about you, but I didn't have a very good week last week, because on Monday I woke up to the horrible news of the mass shooting in Las Vegas. I felt like a gray cloud was following me around all week as we learned more brutal details of how the gunmen killed 58 people and injured hundreds of others. I don't know what the solution is to stop these mass shootings that have become so common that they hardly even surprise us anymore. I'm certainly no expert on the matter, and I'm not going to advocate for or against any particular political policy. But I can say with confidence that as Christians, we have a responsibility to care about this issue. When people suffer, when innocent lives are taken, we have to pay attention. It's not enough to say, "My little corner of the vineyard is fine." Because we don't stand alone. We are a community, an interconnected people. And when one vine is cut down, the whole vineyard suffers. We all bear some measure of responsibility for what happens within our borders, whether or not we ever take up a gun against another person. When we don't know exactly what to do or how to begin, it's a good thing to begin with prayer. So let us pray in the words of our psalm from today. "Turn now, O God of hosts, look down from heaven, behold, and tend this vine." Amen.